The first article of the Apostles' Creed and its meaning, let us read it together, please. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God has created me and all that exists, that he has given and still preserves to me my body and soul, my eyes and ears and all my members, my reason and all the powers of my soul, together with food and raiment, home and family, and all my property, that he daily provides abundantly for all the needs of my life, protects me from all danger, and guards and keeps me from all evil, and that he does this purely out of fatherly and divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me, for all of which I am duty bound to thank, praise, serve, and obey him. This is most certainly true. Let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise this evening in particular as we meditate on what you have done for us in the beauty of the creation that we see around us, that you have blessed us in so many ways for all of our temporal needs, to meet all those needs. And we acknowledge you as our Creator. We acknowledge you as our Father in heaven. And we give thanks for this opportunity to meditate on some of the things you've done for us, the gifts that you've given to us, and how you not only give those gifts, but you sustain us day by day and even moment by moment. Lord, we ask your blessing upon each one of us. Help us, Lord, to see our need of a Heavenly Father. Help us, Lord, not to be independent or thinking that we can do it all by ourselves, but we know that life is difficult and we need your help. We need your protection and we need your provision. And we ask you to help us see how you provide those things for us on a daily basis. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Martin Luther, in the Large Catechism, where he gives more details, especially for pastors and fathers, he makes this point in the first article of the Apostles' Creed. He says, Now that it is taught in this and in the following article, so that the Creed is nothing else than an answer and confession of the Christian arranged with respect to the first commandment, that is, that we should have no other gods before God. As if you were to ask a little child, my dear, what sort of God have you? What do you know of him? He could say, this is my God, first the Father, who has created heaven and earth. Besides this, only one I regard, nothing else as God, for there is no one else who could create heaven and earth. And Luther goes on to say, but for the learned and those who are somewhat advanced and have acquired some scriptural knowledge, these three articles may all be expanded and divided into as many parts as there are words. In other words, we can continue to study the truths of what we have in the Apostles' Creed. Hopefully it's not just a quick confession that we repeat Sunday after Sunday without thinking about it, but we confess what we believe to be true as a body as well as individuals. And let me highlight a few things as we look at the article and its meaning and meditating on some of the truths that we have in Scripture. First of all, and I'm changing the order a little bit for a purpose, but first of all, that God is my creator. God is my creator. I believe, we confess, that God has created me and all that exists. And the Nicene Creed goes on to explain all things visible and invisible. God has created the angels and good things, even things that we can't see. God is my creator. My life is not an accident. I didn't come upon this earth by accident. But God has a purpose and a plan. God has desired from all of eternity past to be in fellowship with his people. And he's provided a means for that. God has created me. God has created all that I see around me, except for sin. We live in a culture and in a time where there's a lot of conflict between what some people call faith and science. And the main way that we see that is creation versus evolution. But the real issue is not truly between faith and science, because I'm convinced that true scientific knowledge, true information that can be repeated in a laboratory is not hostile to our Christian faith. Some of the assumptions that some who are scientists have, the assumption that we have to explain how everything happened, but we can't say God did it. If you begin with that assumption, I believe you're going to come to a wrong conclusion. And the solution is just to say, if there are enough zeros at the end of how many years have gone by, then it's possible that all the random things could come together and bring about order and design without a designer. But we know that design comes from a designer, and we know who that designer is. The real tension is between faith and a philosophy of knowledge or a philosophy of science. And we're warned by the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 8 through verse 10. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. We sin against God, our Creator, when we deny that he in fact is the Creator and that he has made us. But we see that he's not only the Creator, the one who started things in the beginning, but he is also, we're reminded from Scripture, he's my preserver. Some of the founding fathers of our country were deists. They had an idea that God started everything, but it was like a watchmaker that made a clock and wound it up and then is just letting it unwind as time goes on. But we see in Scripture that God is intimately concerned about not only the beginning of all things, but also in sustaining and preserving and keeping all things. God is my preserver, that he has given and still preserves to me my body and soul, my eyes and ears and all my members, my reason and all the powers of my soul. And certainly each one of us are affected by sin. Each one of us, as the years go by, realize that our bodies don't always obey what our brains tell our bodies to do. We know that as time goes by, more than others, we find that our bodies get weaker and can't do as much or not as much as quickly as we used to be able to do. We can hear someone saying, "Oh, I turned 40. Wow, I'm really old." And you can smile and say, "Not even close. Not even close." But God has given and still preserves to us our being. Again, we live in a fallen world tainted by sin. There are difficulties and problems. We need to go to doctors. We need surgeries sometimes. We need medications, whether we want them or not. But God is my preserver. He watches over me. He sustains me. We sin against God, our Creator, and our preserver when we deny that he, in fact, is concerned about and is helping us in various circumstances of life. Why do we worry? Why do we worry? It's usually because we doubt either that God is interested or concerned about my life, or maybe that he's not able to take care of us. On the other hand, why are we boastful? It's because we think we can accomplish everything by ourselves. And I don't need God's help for this. I can do it just fine. And then sometimes we're reminded that there are certain things that I can't control in my life. And when the bottom drops out, it helps me remember that I'm not on the throne, God's on the throne. And that's a good thing, that he's watching over us and helping us. We can confess our worry or our boastfulness, our neglect of God's character. And sometimes we forget to remind ourselves of how good God is and the things that he's done for us and still continues to do. I believe in God, the creator of heaven and earth, maker of heaven and earth. The second thing that we're going to look at tonight is I believe in God, the Father Almighty. And I chose this last because I want to emphasize God is creator first. He is a creator of everyone, even those who deny his existence. Which is ironic, isn't it? The accusation is those who are Christians, those who are theists, are the ones that are making up a God in their own image. But in reality, God created us in his image from the very beginning, though that image was marred and affected in a negative way because of sin. I believe in God the Father Almighty. The picture of a loving Heavenly Father is a good picture and a strong picture for us. I know that as long as we have human earthly fathers, they will, including myself, disappoint us and let us down in different ways, sometimes more seriously than others. Sometimes there's great neglect or abuse. But oftentimes there's that love. There's that desire to provide for his children and to protect them and keep them safe. God is my provider. God said to Abraham, God taught to Abraham, and Abraham confessed that the Lord will provide on Mount Moriah as he thought he would have to sacrifice his son. His son said, Father, the fire is here and the wood is here. Where's the lamb? Abraham said to his father, the Lord will provide for himself, or the Lord himself will provide the lamb. And indeed, he did many, many years later in giving his son, about whom John the Baptizer said, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. God is my provider. He gives me not only my body and soul, my eyes and ears and all my members, my reason and all the powers of my soul, but we also confess together that he gives food and clothing, home and family and all my property, and that he daily provides abundantly for all the needs of my life. God is my provider. I can rest in his provision. He doesn't always give us what we want or what we think we need, but indeed he promised to provide for the needs of his children. God is my provider. Furthermore, God is my protector or defender. God, again speaking to Abraham, said, I am your shield, your very great reward. I am your shield. The picture of that protection. When we lived in Portugal, before they switched over to euros, they had what they called escudos. And that word means shields. And they had little shields on each of the coins and on the bills as well. Good reminder, as you work with that on a daily basis, that God is the shield of all shields. God is the great protector. He protects me from all danger and guards and keeps me from all evil. We also see not only is he my provider, not only is he my protector or defender, but he's also my almighty Father. Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When he was ready to ascend to heaven, he said, I'm going to my Father and your Father. My God and your God. Jesus gives his followers the right to call God not just their creator, but also their father. I think I have a pretty good dad. And I know that when I was little, I thought my dad could do anything and everything. And it was pretty close. I could take almost anything apart, and my dad is still to this day could put almost everything together again. I'd undo things and I'd say, Dad, I can't fix it. And he'd ever so patiently put those things back together again. I remember one year that my parents bought me an alarm clock that had just the edges of the face, but no face on the alarm clock. And my dad said, Well, since you see how it all works, maybe you won't have to take that one apart. That was one I didn't take apart, but one that my dad didn't have to put back together, but I'm confident he could have done it if I would have done my part. But we have a Father who can do everything, upon whom we can depend completely. We don't ever have to say, God, if you're able to do this, but we pray with humility, God, if it be your will, this is what I ask. Permit this or don't allow this to happen. God is my almighty Father because of his Son, Jesus Christ. We read, and he does this, providing and protecting and guarding me purely out of fatherly and divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. I remember, maybe you have seen The Sound of Music over the years. I remember it used to be, when I saw it on TV, they'd leave out some of the songs. Then when you get the video, the VHS, they'd have all the songs that they left out. Not too many, but I remember Maria singing earlier in the show. Somewhere in my youth or childhood, I must have done something right. The idea that God is blessing me now because I did something that basically earned God's blessing. I liked it better, the TV version, where that song wasn't there. Because we don't earn anything before God. God is gracious, not because we deserve it, but because he is gracious and good and kind and merciful. He does it out of purely, out of fatherly and divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in any of us. We sin against God our Father, our Heavenly Father, when we deny that he loves us. Circumstances happen, and we say, well, God must not love me because, fill in the blank, my life is not going the way I want it to go. If God loved me, he would heal me, or he would give me more money, or he'd, whatever the case may be. And we see God's love demonstrated in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's where we see God's love, not in the circumstances of life that may reflect God's mercy and God's kindness, certainly, and God's provision, but we see his love most of all in the gift of his Son and Jesus' sacrifice on the cross to pay for our sins. What is my response? I can't earn God's favor. I can't earn God's kindness or love or mercy toward me. But my response is listed here. For all of which I am in duty bound. And then four things here. To thank him. To thank him is to acknowledge what he's done for us. And we say, thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you for these blessings. Thank you for your protection. We praise him because of who he is. Not just because of what he does for us, but we praise him because he's good and he's merciful and he is the Heavenly Father of the believer in Jesus. And we serve him. And we serve him not because he needs anything from us, but we serve him by serving our neighbor and those neighbors closest to us, especially our in our own home. And then fourthly, we obey him. And even on our best days, my obedience, and probably yours as well, falls short. But he gives us a gracious promise that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us or purify us from all sin or all unrighteousness. And it could be understood as every single occasion of unrighteousness, either the whole picture or each individual part of it. And both, I believe, are true. Let me close with a few words from the Large Catechism by Martin Luther as he summarizes some of this. Therefore, this article ought to humble and terrify us all if we believed it. For we sin daily with our eyes, ears, hands, body, and soul, money and possessions, with everything we have, especially and even those who fight against the Word of God. Yet Christians have this advantage that they acknowledge themselves in duty bound to serve God for these things and to be obedient to him, which the world knows not how to do. We ought therefore daily to practice this article and press it upon our mind to remember it in all that meets our eyes and in all good that falls to our lot and whenever we escape from calamity or danger, that it is God who gives us and does these things and that therein we sense and see his paternal heart and his transcendent love toward us. Thereby the heart would be warmed and kindled to be thankful, to employ all such good things to the honor and praise of God. Our response to God's graciousness is to thank him and to praise him, to serve him by serving our neighbor, and to seek to obey him with the help of the Holy Spirit. And when we fall, when we fail, and we do daily and often, we confess to God, we confess to those that we may hurt around us, and we receive that forgiveness once again. Go in that confidence that because of what Jesus has done for me, I have that peace with God. I have that forgiveness for all my sins. I have that right relationship with my Heavenly Father. And I can call Him God my Creator, also God my Father. My Father who is almighty, all-powerful, and gracious, and loving, and merciful toward me. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 560, Children of the Heavenly Father. And notice the beautiful description of God as our Father and His graciousness and His kindness and protection.